You're very dear to them. And they appreciate you far deeply more than you can even know about. And we're just precious to all of us. Your pastor and his wife mean so much to all of us. May we pray. Our Father, we come today praying that you'll corrupt our hearts and our minds, forgive all of our sins of omission and commission. Let nothing between us and you this morning prevent us from worshiping you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit will deal with our hearts today and let us glorify Jesus above everything else. We pray for this church. Thank you for her ministry, for what she has done, for what she is doing, what she's going to do. These past years, she's performed a great ministry to thy kingdom's interest. Many, many souls have been saved because of it that would have probably never been saved if it had not been established. Thank you for every soul that's been saved and every soul that's been strengthened and every soul that's been helped. Thank you for the leadership of this church. We pray, God, you'll bless everybody that's had a part in leading out and giving of their selves and their means to advance it as far as it has. We pray, Heavenly Father, this morning that you'll bless those that have been faithful through the years and help them to continue their faithfulness. For those that might be sick and can't anymore, we pray for them this morning, and that you'll touch their bodies and do something for them. And as we come this morning, O God, we pray for the salvation of the lost and the reviving of those of us that are saved. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you'll give us victory over the devil and over sin, for the kingdom of God might advance in this community, and that you might send a revival in the midst of the people for Jesus' sake. Amen. At the request of your pastor, I'm deviating from regular preaching this morning. He talked me into it. I brought a message to our people on my 47th year, which is third Sunday, December. This December will be 48 years that I've been pastor there. This past December, I'd been there 47 years. And I brought a message, and he's been hounding me to come and bring it to you. Now, it applies more to our situation than it does yours. But he thought it maybe help, it bless you to know about it. And if you don't like it, skin his head. The title of the message is, I Would Have Loved to Have Been There, and I Was There. I Loved to Have Been There, and I Was There. God in the beginning. God is now, and God's all the way through. And God will be in the ending. God doesn't change. He's the same all the way through. People change, things change, but God's still the same God. And we find when we meet the conditions that God had met in other people, that he's ready to do the same things that he's done in other days. He won't do them identical because God don't have to repeat. He never repeats. He always does things different. But he does things. If folks get in line and work with him, he's ready to work. God, in the beginning, and he continues, and he'll continue until the end of it. And there's no end to this way you could go here. And I, of course, naturally could not go with all of it. And we're just going to pick up. I would love to have been there when God told Gideon to take some men and the men will battle for him. And when Gideon called them out, this 30,000 people, 30,000 men answered the call. But God told Gideon they all wasn't true. And tell them there was one that wasn't interested to go home.
Right.
And 20,000 of them left and went home. Said they're all not interested yet. And he told them to take them down to the river. When he got them all thinned down, he didn't have but 300 people. 300 men's all he had out of 32,000. Well, that was quite a change from 32,000 to 300 men. But God said do it, and Gideon had to go or had to back up. But he took the 32,000, and God told him how to do it. Take some lights and some pitchers, and put the lights under a pitcher, and take a trumpet, and you'll find this in the book of Judges, and place some fellows on each hill with the pipes and with the pitchers and the trumpet. And at the proper time, the trumpet would sound, and they'd break the pitcher and wave the lights. And the enemy would flee. And all of those 300, the other 32,000 had left. The rest of them had hid out and gone somewhere, back to the way or normal ways of living, to other things, to pleasure, to business, and so on. But here's 300. They had faith that God would do what he said he'd do. And they went out there and got stationed and they broke the pitchers and waved the lights when the trumpet sounded. The enemy fled. Gideon was victorious over it all. He won it. I'd love to have been there and seen that battle. I'd love to have been there and seen that. Think of that. 300 men winning a battle with nothing but lights and pitchers and a trumpet.
Yeah.
And then 300 not getting discouraged because 30-something thousand of them went back.
Yeah.
And said, we can't do it, and it isn't possible. I was there myself at Myrtle, Mississippi, when God said to me, take 3 pennies and start a camp. And it wasn't easy to believe God. And he also said there was a purse on the arm of a couch there in the living room of the pastorum where I was at. And it's all, I don't know what is in it, but the sides of it's all bulged out with some paper or something. And he showed me that purse, said, if you'll go, there's not the 3 pennies, but if you'll go, I'll see that the purse is taken care of. The purse into this thing is taken care of. And as a result, I saw the purse, I saw the pennies, I saw what God wanted to build, and it's not to scare any normal man to death to see such a thing. And when I told the church, they all got scared practically and left. And went in town and built another church. And I saw them leave and said, you're going to rob us. We'll all get bankrupt. They'll sue us for our property trying to do something like that. I saw them all leave, and I saw that we didn't have enough to pay our light bill, to pay our fuel bill, and didn't have enough to pay the bills that is against the church. I saw all of that come, and they left and went over and established a church and sat over there and laughed at it. But I saw a letter come in the mail one day, addressed to Myrtle, the saints of Myrtle Baptist Church. Never know till this day who it come from. Some little town in Arizona. Said, "Dear saints of Myrtle Baptist Church, y'all don't want me and I don't you, y'all. But God said you needed this amount of money. We opened it and there's enough money to pay all the bills and operate on for 6 months." It was in there. And then God said, "Go out there and build a building." And we went out there and built that building, new registry, and when you come back. No, then there wasn't a few of us. And they said, "Well, maybe he is sick. Building a building, 3 pennies. That is all we had to start with. And maybe he is sick." And I started to dig the ditch and digged it about 10 feet. And I had a shovel, a pick, and a wheelbar and had on striped coveralls. And there's a tree there by the side of that building. You see the tree there now. And I got about 10 foot of the ditch dug. Some of the members that's left, there wasn't very many of us left. The song leader left. Everybody, the deacons, part of the deacons left. The teachers of the Sunday school left. The superintendent. We was in bad shape. As for membership was left. Poor. They said they can't handle it. We couldn't. God could. And the man drove up in the driveway and got out and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm digging a ditch." Said, "Any fool can see that, but why are you digging it?" And I figured that crowd that was trying to harass us was putting him up to tease us. And I started to get smart and I said, "That's not any way to act." And I said, "Well, if you need to know, I can tell you." Before I got through, he got out of the car and run over and hugged me and said, "I know I was glad to see anybody in my life." Said, "This morning at 2:30 in my home in Memphis, God woke me up and said to come down here and I'd find a man by a sweet gum tree digging a ditch. And I was to give him a check for this amount of money." And he handed him the check and it's $1,500. And that's the way the camp got started. And God has built what's down there now. I saw God to let folks turn away and leave, and I saw God took 3 pennies and a few folks and build what's there. Amen. I saw God do it. I was there when it happened. Amen. Then, my friends, I was there when something else happened. I was there, my friends, when God told me to do it. And I remember I was there when I surrendered to do it myself. I never will forget when God showed me I was to stay with it. And hanging on the wall was a picture, just a little old cheap picture. But it's an old Indian on an old horse with his head bowed and the sun setting. And the end of the trail was the name of the picture. And God said, "You're willing to stay with this to the end of the trail." Now on my face in the living room of the fast storm, I give up. I saw myself with it till the end of the trail come, and I'm there. I've been there a lot of sins. And I'll be carried away from there to the graveyard. Or to heaven, one or the other. I was there. I saw that picture. And I saw I was to stay with it. No running. To stay with it to the end of the trail. I don't know where the end of the trail is, but I'm there till it ends. And then I was there, my friends, when I saw there was a time when we had to have another building. And my people said, "We can't do it. We ain't able to do it. We've done all we can do." And I saw a long, tall, handsome man was having a meeting. He pulled in the driveway out of the highway, said, "What's going on here?" Some of them told him. He'd come down to the tabernacle, and during the break in the afternoon, I'd told the folks 2 weeks before the meeting, I said, "We've got to have another place to sleep, me," and they said, "We're not able. We've got all we can do. Preacher, don't do it." I said, "God said do it." And I said, "There's somebody going to give $7,000, and then that will be the key to it." Monday evening, some of the folks begged me not to do it. Said, "No, no, give me $7,000. I said, "No." Tuesday evening, said, "No." Said, "Good." Said, "You won't have to fool with it." Wednesday evening, I said, "No." They hadn't. Said, "Good. You see, you was wrong." I said, "No, I wasn't. God never wrong." Thursday evening, this young man come down there during the break. He came in and said, "You a persuader?" Said, "Yes." Said, "Would you pray for me?" I said, "I sure will." We got on our knees while folks was out for the breakdown in the tabernacle. He said, "I want you to pray for me." I said, "What for?" I said, "I got a, seems like a big marble, big as a hen egg." And I thought, "It's sugar in there." I got on to pray. I said, "What's the matter with you, brother?" He said, "When do you need $7,000? I said, "Right now." He said, "Well, here's the check." And he handed it to me already written out. And God up a shout, and he said, "The lump's gone, and I'm going on down the highway. Goodbye." About the time I got that over, little girl come and pulled on my coat. They said, "Preacher Ray." I said, "Yeah." Said, "There's an old gentleman out front wants to see you." I said, "Good. Who is he?" Said, "Don't know. Come, and I'll lead him to him." My friend, Mr. Hall from Florida said, "Preacher Ray, you ever got that $7,000 check money yet?" I said, "Yes, just got it. Look here." Said, "Good. Me and my wife, we agreed to give $2,000 when you got that." And said, "Here it is." Got back in the service, and I told the church about it. The little old woman got up and said, "God wants me to give the doorknobs for the doors in that building." Some fella got up and said, "The doorknobs is no good without the doors, and I'll give the doors." Somebody else give the brick, and somebody give the roof, somebody give the windows. And I thought they'd give all the building. And it was fixing to close the service. Good old sister got up with an old ragged scarf and said, "There's nothing good for the bathroom fixtures. And I'm going down the aisle. Folks, going to put enough in this old scarf to buy the bathroom fixtures." And when she got back to the altar, she had enough. They built that building in our church. Folks sitting there looking at them. I saw that. I was there when that happened. Just like Gideon and all of these saw those things happen, I've seen them happen too. And then I saw my friends at time. I'd like to have been there when the children of Israel run out of anything to eat, and they was complaining they didn't have any meat. And God sent quails in there, all kind of birds in there, and they had all the meat they could eat. I remember I'd love to have been there and see them when the quail just covered the yard, and all they had to do was pick them up. Amen. And cook them. I'd love to have been there. But I was there when my women come, we're trying to make some beds in the old holy sheets, and we didn't have enough to cover the beds. And I remember when Galilee Baptist Church sent us hundreds of new sheets to cover those beds with. I was there. I saw it. When those sheets come from this church, I saw it. I was there when it happened. And I would love to have been by my friends when Elijah prayed, and in Mount Carmel, the altar sacrifice. And as a result there, God sent fire from heaven. I would love to be there and say the fire come down from heaven. I was there when I prayed. We had two unusual meetings, one at Hornsby, Tennessee, one at Mayfield, Kentucky. I'd reported to that church, and one of the best deacons I had got up and said, I'm not doubting our pastor. I believe he's an honest man, but why don't it happen to our church? And I said it would if we'd pray like those folks prayed. He said, well, we prayed. This is start. We prayed 6 days and nights around the clock for 24 hours. And then left at 10:30 to 11:30, 12:30, right around the clock, 48 people, 1 hour each. Nothing happened. We got to the seventh hour. On the seventh day, we prayed 7 hours, all 48 of us. 6 days, we prayed 1 hour each. When it come time to pray that seventh hour, we was praying. All 48 is praying. Nothing had happened. I got under such a burden. I left the tent and got out in the weed patch where the church stands now. Myrtle Baptist Church is standing. There was a weed patch. Beyond that was a cattle barn. And the man had a water fountain. We didn't have any water on the church ground at that time. Two of my deacons went out there to get water. And I was praying out there in the weed patch, God, don't let this night pass till you show my people something. And those two deacons passed by. One of them said, out, Pastor, it's such tense agony, we ought to go out there and get him. He's liable to have a brain hemorrhage the way he's praying in such agony. The other one said, I wouldn't touch him and stop him for $1 million. But he said, if something don't happen, it's going to do something to my faith. And God had burdened me to let them see something that they'd know it's God. And I got the burden to pray that God had let a light shine from heaven. It was a real dark night to where I could read my Bible by it out there in the weeds. And there they stood, and all of a sudden the light shined from heaven and I could read my Bible. And all those in praying run out and witnessed it. The young people gathered, running, gathering their mothers and fathers' arms, said, Jesus is coming, it is so bright around there. And then balls of fire, big as 2 gallon bucket, come from the east and the west and the north and the south and descended on that spot. They saw it as it come. They all thought the Lord was about to come. I was there when it happened. I was there when it happened. Just as much as fire came down on Elijah's altar, it came down out there. Because them folks had prayed and agonized 6 days and 6 nights. And a few months after that, I was in the First Baptist Church in Oklahoma, Lutheran, Oklahoma. It was the first night I was in that First Baptist Church, I preached on tithing. The Lord wouldn't let me preach on nothing but tithing. I had to preach on tithing. I never had done that before nor since. I get to preach on tithing. Of course, it's a formal church made up of the elite of the city. About the time I announced my statement, started to preach it, there's a good old saint got to shout and broke up the service. Deacons got up and carried her out. I preached. She met me at the door when I started out that night and apologized. I said, Preacher, I'm sorry I'd be interrupted, but I couldn't hate myself. Said, I'm not going to tell you now, but when you preached your last sermon here and got before you leave that night, I'll tell you what happened. I couldn't guess even what happened. That night when I started out, the last night, she's at the door. She said, come aside, I want to talk to you, young man. Said to me, he's not cut up so that night. He said, months ago, God let me see a young man down in a weed patch and two men standing looking at him. And he prayed till a light come from heaven. till he could see how to read the Bible. And I saw him reading it. And then as light's balls afar come from the east and west and north and south and descended on the place and said, God's going to start a place there and folks are going to come from all over the nation, north and west and south and east, and descend there, and God's going to bless them with the fires of evangelism as they come. And said, I couldn't figure where it was, but God told me someday I'd see that young man, and the way I'd know who he was, he'd preach on tithing the first night he come to my church. And said, when you come on tithing, myself, I knew you was the man. I wasn't about to behave. I was there when that happened. I witnessed it when it happened. I saw it. Then I was there, my friends. I would have loved to have been there. Also, when God, my beloved, I'd have loved to have been there when the three Hebrew children was put in the fire furnace. And it didn't burn them. They came out without the scratch of fire on them. Without the smell of fire on them. The king had them put in there. And everybody seen them come out victorious. I'd love to have been there and witnessed that. It'd have been an experience. But I wasn't there. But I was there in Columbus, Kentucky, in a meeting. And the liquor crowd and the whiskey crowd got mad because two of their ringleaders got saved. And they gave a bunch of money for an old river rat to come from the island of the river and kill me and roll me up in a tent and burn me. Burn a tent and burn me. And the marshal of the town came and warned me to get out. They're going to kill me and burn me. I said, I'll not move. I'm going to stay here.
Amen.
That evening, about 30 minutes before time for the preaching service, nobody came. It was right just like down there at the Mississippi River. And there's a bluff there about 50 feet high. And down there's the river. Out there's the island. And the tent set up here on the hill. Those two same men had got saved the night before. And I'd been there over a week, 10 days, as a matter of fact. Not a move made. I'd prayed and fasted and sent out telegrams and messages everywhere for everybody to pray. When I went there, no man in that town would go to anybody's church. It is a wicked place. Soaked with liquor and gambling. The ringleader of the gambling crowd was saved the night before, and the ringleader of the liquor crowd, and they went everywhere the next day telling. That crowd got mad. They'd go there in the island and made up 25 silver dollars and offered that old river rat those 25 silver dollars if he'd come over and kill me and burn me in the tent. And he's going to do it. Nobody came to the tent that night. But just a few minutes before time, here come those two men. They come and said, preacher, we come to tell you if you burn, we burn with you. If they kill you, we die with you. Our blood run the same puddle. I said, no, boys, you stay here and tell the story. I said, we're not going to tell it. We'll tell it with our blood like you. I said, you matter. We pray. I said, no. And they got over there in the corner and got to praying. Got me stirred up, and I jumped on that twin and hugged their heads against my head, and we all prayed. Got up and marched to the... God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I said, get up, boy, and see the salvation of the Lord. It's time for the meeting to start. Wasn't a soul there. Everybody's afraid to come. The boat starts. Said, there he comes, preacher. I said, yeah. But God said, salvation of the Lord, fellas. About the time that boat got far away across the Mississippi River, the cloud that was in the sky turned as green as grass and formed a big funnel like a ice cream cone.
dropped down there and took him out and blew that boat against the tree of the bank and busted it off to pieces. Wrung a big old elm tree 3.5 foot in diameter at the bottom. Dropped it on the liquor store and mashed it flat to the ground. Come up there and jumped that tent and hit the ground on the other side and looked like you'd run a bulldozer across the forest and the houses. And a little bit, not all of the tent full, but the yard was full of people crying for mercy. At the close of that meeting, I saw that preacher baptize 145 people.
Amen.
75 of them beyond 60 years old. I saw it when it happened. I saw that happen. My friends, just like God sent a fire down to Elijah to prove to that unbelieving crowd, I was there when he said that whole town of Columbus, let God, let them see that he's still God.
Amen.
I want you to know, my friends, I was there. I witnessed it. And I just want you to know that. And I've been there on other occasions. I remember, my friends, I've loved to have been there when the woman who had had an issue of blood for 12 years touched the hem of his garment and immediately it stopped. And I was there, though, and seen another thing likened unto that. There she was, she touched the hem of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stopped. Wasn't that something? I'd love to have been there, but I was there one time at Huntsville, Alabama. There's 800 people there to witness what I'm telling you. Lincoln Memorial Baptist Church. I was preaching, and I was preaching against sin as strong as I'd ever preached. I hadn't thought about healing. It hadn't crossed my mind. And the Spirit of God said, you quit preaching and tell the first 3 folks that touch this altar, God will do something for them. There's a young man well-to-do. His wife was a paralytic from the waist down. He'd had it in all of the leading clinics of the world. All of them said she'd be a paralytic the rest of her life and never be well. And I kept trying to preach and lost my message. And I said, God told me to tell you, first 3 folks that touch this altar tonight, whatever's wrong with you will be taken care of. And that young man grabbed his wife and ran up there and set her on the altar. And she jumped up and run down the aisle of shouting. And she's still all right. I saw it happen. And I saw 2 more do the same thing. And about 40 came out that didn't do any good. But it did the 3 that God said. I was there when that happened. I'm telling you. And God did it. I didn't do it. He just let me see it. And I sure appreciate it. God let me see some things. And I just want you to know, my friends, it is. I was there when it happened and I saw it. And 800 other folks saw it. And my friends, I want you to know, I would have looked there, been there when Moses saw that bush burning, went out there and God said, pull off your shoe. And it didn't consume the bush. I would have loved to have been there. Well, I wasn't there, but I tell you, when I was there, when God said, you'll see a sunrise and sunset that'll tell you where to build Camp Zion. I searched 6 months to where to build. He told me to build it. He said there'll be a certain sunrise and a certain sunset. And when you see that, that's the place. I've gone to all the lakes in the Carolinas, Alabamas, and so on, spent weeks hunting the place where God wanted to build. And one morning he woke me up and said, go out there and look. And in Myrtle I looked and there come the sun. Said, see it. Said, wait till it's seen. Said, this is it. Of all the places in the world to say, look, to build a campus, Myrtle, Mississippi, the most unlikely place in the world. But God said it by strong grace in the Son and says, I was there. That's how come the church to build a camp there, because God put the Son on it. I was there. That's why it's there. Then I'm on all of that. I would have loved to have been there when they marched the walls of Jericho in 6 days. And then the seventh day they marched around the walls fair. My friends, I'd love to have seen that. But I was there when at Hornsby, Tennessee, the wickedest place in that section of the country, that they wouldn't let that. Me preaching a church even down there. But the old infidel, an infidel now, moved his machinery out of the mill shed, and we started meeting in his mill shed, and I got a folks to pray 6 days and six nights, and on the seventh night we prayed 7 hours straight. All 48 of us. 24 prayed on the even hour, 24 on the half hour. Wasn't a minute. A lot of them couldn't read and write, but they could pray. A lot of them didn't have shoes, but they're barefooted praying. They chartered buses out of Memphis and out of Jackson, Tennessee, and other places coming there. And we marched and prayed. And on the seventh night, we prayed 7 hours. Nothing didn't happen for 6 hours. But when we prayed the seventh hour, the power of God fell in that town. Folks got out of the beds in their pajamas and came, and in the gowns and came, and got saved. They got saved 15 and 20 miles from there, out in cotton fields and corn fields. And by 2 o'clock on Monday evening, and that Sunday morning, 2 o'clock Monday evening, all the stores and the factories closed down. And for days, everything closed up. Hundreds of folks got saved. The dance halls up the road got closed up, and then on them got saved and tore them down and built a church. He died a deacon in that church. Oh, why? Cause folks prayed. I was there when they prayed. I saw God answer their prayers. Mayfield, Kentucky. They prayed 6 days and six nights. On the seventh night, they prayed around the clock. For 7 hours, the power of God fell in that town and shook the town. And folks began to get up and out of their beds and come and shout. They're shouting out the streets. The liquor dyers had his own first street down in the slum section where the wicked crowds were. Called the police, said, come and run these crazy hollering folks out. Now, Chief Hughes told me this. He, if it's not so, he lied. He said, I dispatched a police car when we got down on to turn off and brought on first. It wouldn't turn in. Said, I cussed them out and told them this carriage. They said, Chief, you go. Said, I jumped on the wheel and got there and said, preacher, I put all the thing I had in that car, just went on by. Said, I took a rigger. Said, I said, fellas, we can get a turn around on broad down here. We'll go there and stay in the police station, let them have it till daylight. And there's 5 Baptist churches come out of that place.
Amen.
As a result of that prayer meeting, one of the biggest churches in Mayfield, Kentucky, now come out of that meeting. Why? Because they prayed. Because they called on God. I was there. I saw it happen. I know it happened. I was there. Because they prayed. And my friends, I was there when God did that thing, my friend. And I want you to recognize something else, my friend. You don't realize just how much God can do. I would love to have been there when Jesus built the church. I was there when some churches are organized. I've seen him build churches. And my friends, I've been around here when Jesus did some things. I was here when some of you was in another church in a meeting And one night we prayed, and I remember God knocked some fellow out, didn't it? They carried him out, and we had a meeting. I was there. I'm telling you, my friends, I've been there. I'd love to have seen some of these things that happened. But what I'm trying to say in simple truth this morning, you've seen things in the Bible here and yonder and there and say, oh, I wish it would have been that. Some of the same things have happened through your age, through my age, through your life, through my life. A lot of the same things that happened, my friends, that changed people. Different, of course, because we're different. But God, in the beginning, God, all the way through God. Tomorrow it's God. Next week it's God. On, it'll be God. All the way it's God. I'd have loved to have been there, my friends, when he raised Lazarus. I wasn't there to see him raise Lazarus. I'd have loved to have been there. But I've seen him raise a bunch of dead sinners that is dead in sin and touches of sin. And I've seen them break the spell of hell and sin off of them. And they get up and shout the victory of life. You've seen it too. Day after day, week after week, I've seen the dead in sin quickened and made alive and get up to live again. You've seen it, and I've seen it. I'd like to have been there on the day of Pentecost. I have been there a time or two. What is it like to be at Pentecost? I remember in your state, Inman, South Carolina, First Church, I was there one time and the power of God fell. I'd prayed and had everybody praying for me. I'd rebelled on something God wanted me to do and he'd taken the power off. And I'd prayed and fasted and wept my way to God. And I'd promised God I'd do anything. And when he put me in the test, I didn't want to do it, and finally I broke in and the power of God fell. And I praised God in that big old First Church. And the leaders of the denomination was there, but that didn't make any difference to me. I went on praising him. And that night, God saved 116 people.
Amen.
Power of God swept that town. They didn't have enough when that meeting was over to turn the theater on for. Amen. The whole town has been affected by it. Still affects everybody down there. And I, up at the bar in North Carolina, Turkey Creek Church, little old church back up a little old creek there, the power of God fell and the meeting broke out then. It took 3 weeks to stop it. But over 1,000 people got saved in the fields, in school, in the factories. It just run day and night, 24 hours a day. Why? I saw it happen because the Spirit of God did it. Not me. I just there, seeing it happen. And God. In the beginning, God. And through it, God. And on, God. My friends, I want you to realize I'd love to have been there when Elijah left all the father, Elisha, when he got with Elijah in 1 Kings 19:19. After he'd been with Elijah. There come that day when old Elisha realized he had half power. He's out there plowing the oxen, finest oxen. Old Elisha had sold out. He'd been told his mother and father goodbye. He killed all those oxen. And he took out the fellow Elisha. Take up Elijah's work and carry it on. My friends, I was there the day. I'd have loved to have been there and seen old Elisha getting the mantle of Elijah on him. Going all the way, selling out completely. But I was there that day when I had to get mother, father, sisters, and brothers and say goodbye to all of you. And they said, if you go preach, don't come back in this house. Don't tell nobody you're our child. I was there that day when I said goodbye to all of them. and went out and picked up my Bible again for God. I don't regret it. My friends, I'm still going for God. And God's still with me. And I'm still with Him. And I hadn't lost anything about it. Isaiah that night, my friends, when Hollywood shoved that $500,000 contract, there it was. All I had to do was put my name. It's $500,000 for 5 years of all expenses. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to preach. And everybody made fun and called me crazy. But I'm not regretting anything. I was there when I turned that down. Said, I'll go preach. I'm still preaching. And I'll be preaching as long as I'm able to go, hear me? I was there when it happened. And God. And I left everybody to go preach. My friends, I want you to know something. I'll be preaching next time you tell them that God bless them.